donate, and listen to the podcast at wrwl.org.
All right, we're back, and let's take a listen about this Agenda 25. What is so wrong? Well, that's the problem. It's not. This is why the left is so against it. They're always against anything that's good and honorable. So go ahead and take her away.
Project 2025 calls for ending Head Start.
They want to send the cost of health care and prescription drugs soaring again.
It also cuts benefits for current disabled veterans.
It calls for every abortion, miscarriage, stillbirth, and pregnancy loss from medical treatments such as chemo to be reported to the federal government. I mean, this is pregnancy monitoring designed to turn the federal government into the pregnancy police.
How many times have you heard Project 2025? It's become a hot-button topic in the presidential race, even during the debate.
What you're going to hear tonight is a detailed and dangerous plan called Project 2025 that the former president intends on implementing if he were elected again.
I have nothing to do with Project 2025. That's out there. I haven't read it. I don't want to read it purposely. I'm not going to read it. This was a group of people that got together. They came up with some ideas, I guess some good, some bad.
So here to talk about that is the leader of Heritage, which has organized this initiative, Kevin Roberts. Kevin, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Brett.
Okay, first of all, did Donald Trump, former president, ever endorse this project before it happened? Was he a part of the formation of Project 2025?
No to both, because that's not how we can operate as a public policy organization. We have to be candidate agnostic as a 501c3. And so Mr. Trump is not only telling the truth when he says that, he's also reminding people that we all operate in our lanes. Those of us who are think tank leaders are in one lane, campaigns are in another. Political parties are in another. And we've been doing this since 1980. And every single one of those election cycles, Brett, since 1980, we have offered policy briefings to every candidate across the political spectrum. This is what we do in think tank world, is create and cultivate these ideas.
For a conservative think tank to have the Republican candidate, you know, distance himself from something like Project 2025, which is 922 pages of possible policy, isn't that a bad thing?
It's a bad thing if we forget what the reality is, which is that Project 2025 became the target of the radical left. Why did it become a target of the radical left? Because what the radical left can't have an intellectually honest conversation about, they attempt to destroy and to mischaracterize. Literally, everything you ran in the intro in that interview of the senators and the representatives is untrue about Project 2025. It's a menu of conservative boilerplate options. I don't think there's a conservative I've met who would say, in those 922 pages, I'll agree with everything. But the left can't run on ideas and policies because they're destroying the American dream. And that, by the way, is the motivation for
this. They spend a lot of time talking about it, not a lot of time explaining the details of it. It's very detailed. There is one, this is Jared Huffman, Democrat from California. He leads a task force to stop Project 2025. Apparently, they're holding a news conference tomorrow. It says Trump's Project 2025, which we've talked about, is not the connection, plans to resurrect a Victorian-era law, the Comstock Act, to criminalize reproductive care nationwide. We must rectify past injustices and ensure our dark history cannot repeat itself under any future administration. Stop Project 2025. All right, deal specifically with that comment.
Totally untrue. We talk about the history of the Comstock Law and the project, and so what the congressman is doing is glomming on to a search function where those words are in there, and then everything else that follows, literally everything else that follows, is untrue. The Vice President of the United States is a liar when she says, for example, that Project 2025 wants to implement a nationwide abortion ban. Do we have a difference of opinion with the vice president on abortion policy? Of course. But let's have an intellectually honest conversation. The great thing, Brett, is that all of this targeting of Project 2025 by the radical left has caused people to go to the document, which is, by the way, been out in the public sphere for 18 months. And what I love is to get emails from left of center Americans who say, I disagree with you, but this is a great piece of work that has laid out the cards on the table for us to have a policy.
Have
it's options for a possible President Trump in the second term, but it's not that he's signed on to these specific things.
That is exactly correct. And I want to be really clear.
Okay.
Never before and not now has this project, which sometimes is called Mandate for Leadership in Heritage's History, have we asked any candidate to sign on to it. We can't do endorsements at the Heritage Foundation. We don't seek them. It is a menu of options that if the president and vice president, whether they're Republican or Democrat, by the way, wants to enact certain policies, there's a plan there for them.
Some of the others in here, Project 2025, merit hiring, market-based pay, dismantle Homeland Security Department, leverage State Department confirmation process, CIA accountability through new hires, EPA restructuring and streamlining. Those are bullet points. One of the things people talk about is like a scouring of the bureaucracy to make sure only acolytes who are supportive of, for example, President Trump would be inside the agencies.
That's what the left has done for 50 years. Project 2025 is the corrective to that, where we get competent people who are virtuous to go in. But let me also end with this point on this comment. When you go out and poll the specific policy positions of Project 2025, Brett, most of them are 80-20 issues. And so the left note is focusing on mischaracterizations of those ideas and the name itself. They don't want to have a conversation about the policies themselves, because when the American people learn about them, they realize they support them.
This is Steve Corbin. He writes, Trump's claim he knows nothing about Project 2025 is questionable, to say the least. The Heritage Foundation's website notes Trump fully embraced 64% of its 321 policy reform recommendations during its 2017 to 2021 presidency. Since Trump implemented 64% of Heritage Foundation's manifesto, and knowing he's not a policy wonk, odds are great if elected he will embrace the latest version of Project 2025, lock, stock, and barrel.
We are not presumptuous about any elected official, whether it's through Project 2025 or the daily and hourly work that we do at Heritage, will take our recommendations. We operate in service to them and in service to the American people. We do believe, however, that if you want to restore the American dream, that those policies should be enacted.
Senator J.D. Vance apparently wrote a foreword to your upcoming book. Is that true?
That's true. It's a great forward, too.
It is. And does that suggest a linkage that the Democrats are continuing to make?
Two things. It suggests a linkage between two friends. And the second thing is, the last time I checked, this is the United States of America, and people in politics ought to have friendships and work together. The left wants to disallow that because they realize that their policy record over the last 3.5 years in particular is ending the American dream.
Are you surprised by all this attention and all this vitriol around this document? Are you surprised by it when it started happening?
I'm surprised by the scope of it, to be sure. I'm not surprised that it happened. And the lesson that we learned, and we've learned loud and clear, is that when we do this again, and we're going to do it every election cycle because it's what Heritage does, that when the left begins to mischaracterize, figuratively, we're going to punch them back in the nose.
Well, Kevin, we appreciate you coming on. We'll continue to go through policy by policy and deal with the facts.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All righty, we are back. And we have a lady that
That was a good
here.
Clip, but he forgot one thing on there. Vance did write the foreword, but he did it in 2022, and he did it before anybody thought he was going to be Trump's VP nominee. About that time, almost everybody thought that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis would be the nominee.
All righty. We're going to, we have a lady to call and she wants to do some commentary. She wants her opinion on Harris and what's happening with women who are being, well, indoctrinated, especially these younger women. So, Mona, are you there?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead and tell us what you want to tell us.
I'm directing this to the women that are listening and to whoever they might say. And I'm citing the story of Sarai, Abram, Hagar, and Ishmael. And the thing was that Sarai didn't believe God was going to do what he said, so she told Hagar to go get pregnant. And Hagar did. That all went wrongly. And Abram said, she's your servant. She's causing trouble. You deal with it. And she told Hagar to leave and take the brat kid with her. It's at that point that she could have said, no, I'm not leaving, that my son deserves his right as the firstborn, but she didn't, and she went out into the desert, and she put him under a scrub tree, and she went away because she didn't want to watch him die. Was it an angel that came to her and said, because you have obeyed your mistress?
It was the Lord himself. It was the Lord himself there, yeah.
Okay. Because you have obeyed, I will give Ishmael a blessing. And I believe that there are women that have their own Ishmael, and they turn their back because they don't want to watch that die, be it a marriage or a friendship or a work relationship or something like that. And God sent Hagar back along with Ishmael to work things out, and I believe that's what God will do if woman gets it together and acts like a woman and dresses like a woman and starts dealing in this world like a woman.
All right, so you think that God knew what he was doing. Let's go back and take a look at that quickly. Any time men did, they listened to their wives instead of God. Any time they, it never ended well, okay? Adam listened to Eve. Now, Adam was instructed. God had told Adam not to partake of the fruit, and yet he listened to Eve. He let Eve talk him into it to see. The enemy always attacks women in the area of discernment. We see that from Genesis to Revelation. Now, same thing, and you saw what happened there. Okay, that we're all paying the price for that. Now, then Sarah, you know, Abraham listened to Sarah. He knew better. He knew better. God had told him very clearly, made it very clear he was going to give him, Sarah was going to conceive. But he let Sarah talk him into, and she knew. He let Sarah talk him into taking Hagar as a wife so that he would have sons. And again, you saw what happened there. That didn't end well, and you ended up with the Arab nations today, okay?
Right.
Any time these men listened to their wives instead of listening to God. Now, Job was smart. Job didn't listen to his wife. But you see, again, in that area, God always, we see the enemy, rather, attacking women. And today, especially today, oh my gosh, today. And that's why he tells you over in Isaiah chapter 3, where he gives as a punishment for a rebellious people that have turned their back on God, he gives them women as leaders, like what's happening in America today. But the vast majority of people in this country are too biblically illiterate to understand that. I mean, they don't get it. They just don't get it, okay?
Right.
And so, anyhow, and so some every now and then I'll have a woman that will want to argue with me about that, and my argument's not with me. Here, take the book, take God's Word, the Bible, open it up, read it, and then go ahead and tell God where he messed up, Your argument's not with me. It's with the Word of God. So, there you go.
My final comment to women would be, we do have power. We have a lot of power. And we have used it for our own selfish glory. And we need to stop doing that, and we need to start acting like women and taking our rightful place. And I believe just the way that God gave Ishmael the blessing, and I believe he gave him that blessing because it wasn't his fault. He was born.
I believe
that God will bless, because in a large way, a lot of what's going on is because of decisions that were made before us.
I have a clip here, but I don't have it loaded in. But first of all, I'm going to give a very fast commercial. Okay, Ohio Citizens for Property and Tax Reform Town Hall Meeting, and that's going to be tomorrow night. And that's at the Calvin Center in the Hungarian Reformed Church. here in Cleveland, Ohio, at 15300 Puritas Avenue, Cleveland, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. And this is about property tax reform. We're really getting ripped off here in Ohio on property tax, and people are losing their property, elderly people, and they're getting really tired of it. And so that's what the meeting is all about. Now, there is a clip that I have, and I don't have it loaded in, but it's about this woman here. She claims to be a pastor. She's in one of these apostate churches, and she's actually saying that Jesus were here today, he would escort the women into the abortion mills. This woman is here. Let me play just a little bit of a clip of it. I have, he's saying that Jesus would escort the women.
So let's move on to another subject here, one that has me furious, to be honest with you, and that is this woman pastor who says that Jesus would be in favor of abortion. Let me be very blunt. What she's saying is so blasphemous that I understand why the Old Testament, why God mandated the death penalty for blasphemy. I totally understand. After watching what this lady says, it's like,
she ain't no lady.
Even if we don't necessarily apply the death penalty in the New Covenant, I can at least understand why God mandated it in the Old Testament when I listen to someone like this lady. I can understand. I totally get it. I get it. This will make your blood boil. I'm gonna share my screen. Let's watch it together. Get ready. All right.
If Jesus were here today, he would be a clinic escort, distracting women from the hatred of the protesters, or an abortion doula, holding women's hands and offering support and love as they end their pregnancies. And I expect he would have a stern word for self-righteous legislators who use abortion as a political issue rather than showing compassion for the people seeking abortions. Today, on this Rose Sunday, I wanted to share some of the stories we have collected because these are the sacred stories of women's lives.
I'm going to just cut it off. I tell you what, it make your blood boil. This wicked, wicked woman. Now, here I have the article, Heresy Ultra Woke, the article. And one of the ladies in the church wrote a little note on there. And then the question is, can there be holy whores? That's the question. Can there be holy whores? And this woman was a wicked lesbian Democrat, and she is by no means a lady in any way, shape, or form, okay? She goes on to say that she had four pregnancies. Out of the four, she killed two of them, and that was her right. And she's not ashamed of that, and she kept two. And she has two children that she decided that she wanted, but it was all to her right. She was the one who chose who could live and who could die and who should die. This woman is an extremely wicked, and I agree with that. She's an unclean woman, a wicked one. Now, I would love to get here. Unfortunately, they didn't put her name in there. I wish if I'd known it, I'd have put her name out here for sure. But so here, you know, what is the Bible says the best ministry that a woman can have? What is the best ministry that a woman can have, Joe? 1 Timothy.
To be
an obedient wife, and raise children in the admonition of the Lord.
Admonition of the Lord, but be a wife and mother. That's what I was trying to say.
Well, you know, nowadays Democrats,
that's a lost art.
Males can be mothers nowadays, and the Democrats want to have men to have babies.
Yeah, and they could be wives and mothers. and use tampons?
Well, they can't. They you know, they could be mothers, but they
is the wife in his or his the wife in his relationship with her husband. I don't know how that works, but that's confusing.
Know. Yeah. What about the, what is it, the Surgeon General? What is that thing?
A thing, yeah. And it's neither male nor female. It's something strange.
Reminds me of the old Three Stooges skit. Him.
Oh, no.
Her.
No,
it's
worse than that. Yeah.
Well, you know, they might be able to be mothers, but they can't be women because there's no Democrat that knows what a woman is.
Right, true, yes. They can't define it.
Even though we're supposed to vote for the first woman president.
But they can't define
it. But we don't know what a woman is, but...
How can they do it? How can they say that if they really don't know what a woman is? Okay.
Well,
Mona, do you know what a woman is, right, Mona?
I hope I do. I know how I was raised. And it's nothing like today. And another comment that I would have for the women would be, start acting like women. Don't act like Kamala and the rest of these, or we'll never stand out. We'll just be blended in with this insanity.
Okay, one of the things that they never teach the young girls today, there's a couple words that's not in their vocabulary. One is virtuous.
Yep.
And one is chaste. You don't hear those words in today. Where it comes to the teaching the young women. Now, what they do teach is rebellion, rebelliousness, and arrogance.
Right.
Yeah. It's rebelliousness, and that's what's taking place out there today.
Then they also teach there is no God, but there's Gaia, is Mother Earth. Yeah, they do teach those things.
Or Sophia, which is the one of their... pagan gods. Now, they're in New York at the St. John's. They have Krista.
Krista. They're coming up with more every day, huh?
Oh, yeah. It was a big, large statue of a naked woman up on the cross. They've turned Christ into Krista.
Oh, joy. Shitting me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... go ahead, Mona.
Before I get off of here... are we allowed to pray? Can we pray that God will lead these women back to the way that they should be?
You know what? You go ahead and do that.
Then I would say, Abba, lead these women back to the way that you designed them to be. Show them that the way that you designed them to be is not a horrible, hideous thing, that they're not giving up any of their rights or anything else, that they are... doing what you designed them to be, the way that they were born, and the gifts that you have given them. Ask a hedge of protection around them as they make the transition from me to my family, my friends, my neighborhood. Lift this up in Jesus' name and say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Very good. Amen. Well, thank you. All right. Well, thank you, Mona. And we got to move on here. Cheryl Atkinson marks the 11th anniversary of CBS exposing Obama regime spying. The DOJ continues to block trial that could expose top officials. Yep, that Obama was behind it then, and of course now we know that Kamala has been spying on Trump, and so they got the things from the Iranians. Were feeding them information. They were hacking into Trump and giving it to the communists to hold Kamala. We call her Kamala because of Malik, the satanic
god. Because
God.
They want to,
to kill the babies.
Win because they're so afraid of Kamala Harris. Right.
Yeah.
It's a fitting name. Pastor, we've got a Jim McDaniel on the line. He wanted to give an update of the Republican meeting that happened tonight.
McNeil. It'd be Jim McNeil.
McNeil, yes. I'm sorry.
Okay. Put him up.
Jim,
Pastor.
You there?
Yeah. Yes. Take her away, Jim.
My great pleasure to announce tonight that conservative leadership has been restored to the GOP of Geauga County.
Well, finally, praise the good Lord. It's about time. It's through efforts like yourself.
Long fight. And it was just so invigorating. We have a person there, Joni Windnagel, who is a true uniter, and she will articulate true conservative principles and philosophies, which is the way that we are going to change the voter registration in Geauga County from only 19,000 Republicans, 5,000 Democrats, and all the rest as unaffiliated. Joni, I believe, is going to do the same thing as Ronald Reagan did by articulating sound, foundational, conservative, consistent policies and philosophy.
Well, how did the vote go? Tell me.
I believe it was about 30. She got about 54% of the vote.
Okay, very good.
Now, I have to say that our team, we worked this extremely hard. I'm not being a spokesman for the team. This was a across-the-board effort. There were probably 10 good, strong conservatives that just went through all of the representatives from the various precincts. And we finally got the attendance of the conservatives that we needed to have. We could have done this years ago, except we just never got the attendance. But they
couldn't get them all there at one time. And I know that there
were
some
out tonight, Pastor. I know that tonight. Yeah. It was a thing to behold.
Well, praise the good Lord. So finally, and I know we've been working on it for a long time. So, well, and maybe now.
One other thing that I would like to do from a Christian spirit perspective. The former chair, who will go nameless here, not only had resigned, but is going through a bad personal crisis, apparently a divorce and relocating and so on. And in the spirit of Christianity, of Jesus Christ, I would like to pray for her that he brings her through that and brings her back into the saving knowledge of Christ.
She wasn't always that way, you know. I knew her before, but go ahead and pray then.
Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the fruits of hard labor. Thank you that these fruits are in concert with your will, because without that, nothing occurs. And we ask you to have mercy on our sister. Help her through this emotional crisis. And bring her back to you. And we pray in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.
Amen. Okay, very Amen. Good. Well, that's good news. Now are we going to get those Trump signs that we want?
Yeah, they've been coming in from all over. People have been driving to Columbus and other counties all around getting signs. By the way, you may know that Steve Demetriou is really no longer our House representative in Ohio. It's now Sarah Fowler Arthur.
Oh yeah, I know.
I didn't know that. But I have a few Sarah Fowler signs, and I also have a number of we have a goodly number of Vote No Issue 1 signs. That'll be available.
Well,
we also now have a temporary headquarters where we've had no building, no office from which to operate, and we'll be bringing supplies into that office, and there'll be a duty roster going out for people to actually staff this office, and phone banks. And all kinds of things that should have long ago been undertaken and were so woefully neglected.
Well, praise the good Lord. It's about time. And this is what's happened to too much of our Republican Party around the country. But I see all of that changing. And I think people, Jim, are really right now just scared to death that Kamala is going to get in there, and that's the end of our country. But right now, too, whether Trump wins or she wins, things could get nasty. There could be a civil war afterwards. Because the country has never been as divided as it is today. I don't think, you know, it was this divided since the Civil War. What do you think?
I think you're exactly right. There's a lot of high tempers and a lot of passion on both sides. And, of course, only one side has the backing of Scripture, and that resistance to tyranny is obedience to God.
From Genesis to Revelation, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know, the Bible says, who will fight on the Lord's side? And we're all here saying, choose us, Lord, and send us, huh?
Well, it was just my pleasure to bring glad tidings tonight.
Well, you did. I'm very, very good. I'm so glad that meeting went well. And then we had, what a wonderful potluck dinner we had at church service yesterday. The church service, and boy, those ladies could cook afterwards. What a meal we had there at that pavilion. It was just tremendous.
Oh, I regret that I couldn't be there. I had some back issues at the time, but I made the evening service, and Pastor Hal's sermon, as usual, was exemplary. Just inspirational and can give you the chills.
Yeah, it was very, very good, and I know I was there. Anyhow, I just want to say praise the good Lord for that, and we got to really get going out there, because I know the communists have put their signs out. Now, I'm urging. By the way, did you see that some of the sheriffs here in Ohio are urging the people to go to the Democrats, the illegal aliens, to go to the Democrats. Now, also, they're actually asking citizens to put up, to house some of the illegals, to take the pressure off, to take them in. And what I'm saying is this, you illegals out there, the signs, when you have a Harris sign and a Walt sign out in the yard, that's an invitation. They're the people that wanted you to come in here, to bring you, open the borders, to bring you in. And I'm talking about especially, you know, you people out there, you drug dealers, you rapists and that, all of you people that, you know, gangbangers and that.
Human traffickers.
Human traffickers, child molesters, pedophiles. When you see a Harris, now a good place to go would be Chagrin Falls. I've renamed it Chicken Falls because you have a whole lot of those signs out there in Chicken Falls in the yard. So you go on up and just knock on the door, because see, a lot of those houses, the big houses, you know, they have four or five bedrooms in them and several bathrooms, and just say, look at, you know, we come here, we see that you have the sign in your yard and that for open borders. I mean, Harris wants open borders and you support her. So we're coming to you, and we know you don't want to be hypocrites, right? We want you to take us in. Take us in. And so,
obviously, they're the friends.
Yeah, right. So, again,
if I needed a place to stay, I would go to a friend's house.
Yeah, absolutely. So go knock at the doors.
Yeah, I don't know if you've seen this, but apparently Mahoning County, which is Youngstown area, I guess, has declared as a sanctuary county, and the Portage County Sheriff apparently made some statements that, you know, it's getting closer and closer, and what he was urging people to do was to make a notational log of houses that had Harris and Walt signs in their yard. And in the event that, God forbid, that Kamala became president, that these would be the places where illegal aliens would be shipped for housing.
Yeah. I mean, that's only fair, isn't it?
And the Portage County Board of Elections has just removed the sheriff's department from providing security for election for polling places because they believe that he would intimidate, seeing a sheriff's deputy there after his statement would intimidate people from voting and exercising their right to vote.
You don't suppose that they're more concerned about not getting away with election fraud, do you?
Well, I don't know. It was a 3-1 vote on that board of elections. And typically, they're 2 Republicans, 2 Democrats. So there's probably, I would take a guess, 2 Democrats, 1 Republican, and 1 Rhino.
Yep, that's the way it is. And we know we've had our problems with our Rhinos. And, you know, in the state of Ohio, they're sometimes worse than the Democrats. But anyhow, very good. Well, thank you for reporting that, Jim.
Yeah, I'm really happy to be the seed on the mountain that bring glad tidings.
Yeah, very good. You know what? So, you know, every now and then we have you'll have a service, you'll have someone local that gives superior service, gives excellent service above and beyond. I had a situation where, and this isn't the first time, I needed a plumber. I needed a plumber right away. We had some major plumbing problems, and I called Papa Doc Plumbing, and guess what? They were right out there right away, and I knew they were very, very busy, but they go by the seriousness of the situation, who's the need, and so Bob out there at Papa Doc Plumbing, I want to just tell you folks, in the Chardon, in the Geauga County area, Papa Doc Plumbing Services is at 147 Court Street in Chardon, Ohio, and that phone number is 440-285-0904. Again, if you need a good plumber, a very good plumber, go out there to Bob at Papa Doc Plumbing, 285-0904. They've always showed up when we needed them, and they give excellent service at an affordable price, too. Some of these plumbers, there were some in New York City actually were making more money than MDs, the medical doctors, because there were so few of them.
And they didn't have to pay all that insurance, the premiums for liability.
Well, nowadays, you know, the more and more of the young men are going, instead of going to college, they're going to the trade schools, and that's where they're needed. We need carpenters and electricians and plumbers and mechanics and all of those today, don't we?
When the wheels come off, lawyers and accountants are going to be very hungry.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that was my report, Pastor.
Well, you did it very well, and I thank you very much.
So I thank everybody for their prayers. This has been a very, very, very long campaign, very long battle.
I know, but it's
so
it's
good.
It's not over with yet. We still got a lot to go, and so I know we've been waiting.
It's a new dawning. It's a new day. Freedom has re-arrived in Geauga County.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. God bless, man.
Well, right. If it just spreads across the country, it'd be very helpful.
Yeah. Well, you know, actually in Ohio, we have what they call the Rhino Blue 22, the Rhino Blue 22. And they were the ones that got in there. They were all Democrats that ran in the primaries as Republicans. Well, one by one, they're getting knocked out.
Yeah, but only the 22 that we know of.
Yeah. Well, still,
there's others lying in wait. Trust me.
Yeah, and you know we have some congressmen there that are have caused us some major problems in Congress. In fact, if it wasn't for one of the congressmen right from here in Ohio, then Merrick Garland would be in jail today where he belongs. But Dave Joyce was one of the four Republicans that refused to go after Merrick Garland for treason, for high treason. And so,
high
there
treason,
you go.
Perjury, I mean, there was a list.
Yeah, he stood there and lied under oath to Congress time and time and time again, and Mary Alcus, too. And, you know, and here's the funny thing, too. When Chris Wray had to give, he had to get he couldn't do it with a straight face. He could not do it with a straight face. He was going to see the FBI director. We're going to do everything we can to make sure that President Trump has all the protection he needs. He could not say it with a straight face. He started laughing. And so there you go. That shows you. And Trump comes out and said he believes that the FBI was probably involved in some of these assassination attempts on him. By the way, speaking of that, you know, you had Matt Gaetz here. He said, made the startling claim last Thursday that there are at least five known assassination teams in the U.S. conspiring to assassinate Donald Trump. And Gaetz is a congressman from Florida, told the news and Breitbart that a senior Homeland Security official told him about five assassination conspiracies before Sunday's latest attempt on Trump at his West Palm Beach golf course. Three of them that we know are foreign in nature. Two of them we know are domestic in nature. And that calls for a force protection that we do not have around the former president right now. Gaetz said that the DHS, the Department of Homeland Security officials, are aware of this and were concerned that the Secret Service was not providing sufficient support. And so three of these teams are foreign, inspired from my understanding, Iranians, Ukrainians, and Pakistanians. And you know, the work is obviously challenging to protect and protective detail like a presidential campaign. This is a vigorous and out campaigning, Gaetz said. There you go. So that's nothing new there, is it?
Nothing new. It's the world hates Donald Trump, fears Donald Trump because of, well, what he believes, what he's going to do, what he has done.
Yeah. But you know what? I'll tell you what happened. You know, when they shot him and he stood up and he raised his arm and said, fight, fight, fight. That was, you know, you'll be seeing that in films for years and years to come. And so, all right. How much time do we have there?
We've got about 10 minutes.
All right, Joe, we're going to give you 10 whole minutes. Can you that invitation? Yeah, I mean he should mystify us with 10 minutes.
Mystify. One of my favorite hymns is Down at the Cross. I think too often we forget about two things. As Christians, we don't focus enough on the cross and the shed blood. And this hymn kind of covers it. Down at the cross where my Savior died, down where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin, Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in, glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Come to the fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge into day and be made complete. Glory to his name. And that poem tells quite a story. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, was sent to become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He was sent to be that sacrificial lamb for us, to take our place, to die a substitutionary death for you and me on the cross. And he took on his sinless, spotless soul our sins. And when he died, our sin debt was paid, but only for those who would accept his wonderful offer of mercy. But that shed blood, that blood was the most precious substance in the universe. Remember in the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice a huge bullock, and that shed blood would cover the sins of the priest, who would then sacrifice a lamb for the entire nation of Israel. So you get the concept of what it took to cleanse the priest to be able to do the temporary sacrifice for a whole nation. Jesus was that lamb. It was his blood sacrifice, because God said he demanded a blood sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. And the Lord made it clear that the wages of sin is death. God doesn't rate sin, you know, on a 1 to 10 scale. All sin against him, all sin is worthy of death. So the only way away from sin is redemption through Jesus Christ. And that at the cross, that's where you and I were saved, where everything changed for us. And that when they talk about the fount, his blood, his shed blood that covers our sins. Forgiveness of sins, 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. Ephesians 1:7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the richness of his grace. Yes. And Jesus, remember, in Matthew 26, for this is my blood of the New Testament, the New Covenant, which is shed for many, not for all, for many, for the remission of sin, for those who will accept. And we know that Matthew 9:6 tells us, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth as the power to forgive sins. He is the only one, he and the Father, the only one, the only power on earth, the only way to have our sins forgiven is through him. And the key, well, we must repent. We must call upon the Lord. And like in Matthew 4:17, and from that time Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. We have to repent that our sins placed his son on that cross. And if we do that with it from the heart, something we have to truly believe and feel, this is not just words, but you have to really believe, you know, feel sorry that your sins placed him there, then, well, in Acts 3:19, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The Father will grant forgiveness, and we can call then upon Jesus Christ himself and ask him to be our Lord and Savior, that we accept his wonderful offer of mercy, that we want him to be Lord of our life, all of our life, that we have to be willing to give ourselves to him completely. This is the hard part for people. We have to make him number one in our life. That's number one, you know, over your wife, your husband, your father, your mother. Jesus has to be number one. And if we're willing to do that, then he will grant us the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said, I'm in the Father in me, and I am in you. He's indwells in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Then we become a born-again believer. We become a son or daughter of God himself, and we now don't have a religion. We have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ himself. That's the difference. The world has all these religions. As a Christian, I have a personal relationship with the Son of God, the Savior of mankind, with God himself. His Spirit indwells in me. I become my own high priest. My body becomes a temple of God because it houses the Lord himself. I become a joint heir with Jesus in everlasting life. And I become this new creature. I am spiritually born again. And my water baptism testifies to the spiritual rebirth. And I am a changed person forever, forever. And once you've done this, your salvation is complete. Salvation can never, never be taken from you. God said once you're in his hands, there's nothing in heaven or earth that can take you away from him. It's the greatest wonderful choice you can ever make, but God gives us free will. We have a choice to accept the Lord or reject him. We can, you know, do it our way or his way, but we pay the consequences, or in the case of a born-again believer, we get the wonderful, wonderful salvation, eternal life, and all the gifts that go with it. It's your choice to make. You're not going to get saved by going to church. You're not going to get saved by good deeds, by donating money. You get saved by repenting of your sins and asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. God has said this is the way it is. He told in Nicodemus, ye must be born again. There is no other way to get to the Father, to get to heaven.
1 minute, Joe, 1 minute.
And, you know, the happiest people I know, and I've met a lot of people, are born-again believers. They have a peace within. They have joy in their heart. They love life. They love their spouses, their families. You know, they have trials and tribulations like the rest of the world, but they stand apart. They have more love, more laughter, more joy because they are a child of the kingdom. You can join us, or you can join the multitude that will spend eternity in hell. It's your call. Do it now while you have a choice. God gives you choices, but many will not be here tomorrow. Death comes unexpectedly. No one knows when they're going to be called. I would make my choice if I were you tonight.
Because tonight is the acceptable
chance.
Right. Do it now while you can. It's the acceptable time. Well, we've come to
that
point.
It is the acceptable. The invitation has been made. It's up to you.
Yeah. And we want to say thanks for being here, joining us tonight.
Yes, thank you all.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
We want to say God bless.
God bless you.
And then we want to say always
keep fighting the fight.
Good night, Pastor.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.